Word of God, amen. As we say, the weapon of a steadfast mentality, amen. Well, I thank God as each and every one of us, as we look at tonight and begin to realize that how truly blessed that we are, amen, and all the things. You know, with the, the wonderful Word of God, Satan wants to stop us today at all cost. He wants to stop the churches from being the church. He wants to stop us in our marriages today. And he knows that our trials will produce fruit for eternity. Let me say that again. The devil knows that our trials will produce fruit for eternity in our lives, and it will impact those that are around us, amen. He'll do whatever is necessary to put an end to our testimonies today in 2021. He works hard during the times of the difficulty because he knows that it's an opportunity to cause us, listen, to lose our focus today in this world. Boy, I thank God. Listen, I tell you, it's an opportunity for every one of us. If God's people fail in times of adversity, all the devil has to do is point the lost to that failure. And that's exactly what the devil is doing today with so many that are out there. When Christianity doesn't work in difficulty, the unsaved wonder if it works at all. I'm here to tell you that no matter what's happening, that we're going to shed a light for this lost and dying world, and we're going to tell them, amen, about Jesus. Peter had laid down the groundwork for the victorious life in the midst of trials, and now he encourages every one of us tonight to stay the course. Well, I thank God. We go back and we're reminded about this as well, praise God, because here, this weapon of a steadfast mentality, amen, that we're steadfast in our faith, praise God, that here we begin to realize about our lesson tonight that we're going to stay the course today. Listen, I'm going to tell you, we've got to stay the course on our Christian walk today, amen. Trials have a way of wearing every one of us down. But we begin to wonder if we're all alone in the battle or if anyone else cares that we're suffering. But I thank God, I know the answer to that, and you do too, because the Lord admonishes us not to quit because we're true to what we have learned, knowing that the devil will keep firing his darts in our directions. I got a bullseye on me. If you're a child of God, you got a bullseye on you. The devil's taking target practice every day, praise God. But you know what? I'm full of the Holy Spirit of God. And I tell you, he can fire away all he wants to, but my Lord will knock those darts away. And I thank God we got an objective tonight as we study 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. We're going to put the scriptures up, read them as we go tonight and teach it. But we need to remind every one of us as Christian believers that the battle that we're fighting does not end until we meet the Lord. Amen? I thank God we cannot afford to get relaxed or overconfident, because here we're working together as Christian believers to focus on what is ahead in our lives rather than on what is behind us. The devil will keep you looking back every day of the week and doubting and saying this, you need to be looking ahead, praise God. I thank God. You know what? We need to be building up the faith in Christ. We need to build up those that are around us. If you're in a church, if you ain't building up somebody, you're wrong. Amen. Listen, God help you that you ain't saying good things about somebody instead of saying bad things about somebody. You need to be building up the faith, praise God. And I tell you, building up the body of Christ. If you ain't been doing that, you're wrong right now. And so I'll tell you right now, past victories are great. But God needs us to continually move forward toward our goals. I thank God. I'm going to tell you what our goal is here in a minute. And it's a goal that has been from the very day that you got saved and got into the family of God. Hallelujah. And so I thank God, each and every one of us, as we look back and begin to be reminded that how to conquer suffering and we live for righteousness. That's my subtitle. But I'm talking about tonight, the weapon of a steadfast mentality. Boy, I thank God each and every one of us as we go forward and we're reminded of what the Lord has for us, that here we're out to expose the danger of all the dabbling with the past sin that's associated with those that once had a part in destroying our lives. They're always going to dabble. They're always, that's the devil working and the demons doing his work for him. But to help the Christian believer to understand that persecution is normal for the Christian, and it can't. It can be expected because, you know what? It ain't always a bed of roses. Sometimes things are going to happen. The law of nature is going to happen. I'm getting older. My eyes, I got glasses on. They don't see as good as they used to. My ears, when I was in the military, and plus a semi-retirement with a steel mill didn't help either with all the firing and blowing up stuff, amen. Boy, I tell you. But to develop a spirit of humbleness and humility and cooperation in the heart of the Christian believer. And so I thank God as we look tonight, we're reminded of what Peter has taught us about this. He said, here, all of those ones of the Christians that went out and that were scattered abroad were suffering. Those Christians throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, all out through there. That was today of modern day Turkey, praise God. Well, I thank God each and every one of us, as I said earlier, we need the number one thing, our goal in the Christian life that I just said a while ago, our number one goal is to cease from sin. You say, man, I just sinned this morning. Hey, just keep going forward. Ask the Lord to forgive you, as we always do, because you ain't perfect. And listen, it might be somebody out there that's looking at your life. They ain't going to find nobody perfect. They ain't going to find nobody perfect in me, because there's nobody perfect. But I thank God I've been saved by God's marvelous grace, amen. And so I thank God my number one goal, besides waiting and spreading the gospel and the good news to those that are lost, amen, my number one agenda is to cease from sinning, amen. You say, well, ain't you saved? Yeah, but it's this fleshly nature. And I'm going to tell you, even though when you get saved, this old fleshly nature still tries to have its way, we have to crucify it, amen. And so what happens, amen, is death. You've got to die out from that, amen. We'll not reach this goal until we die. Our goal is to cease from sin. But we'll not reach that goal until we die or until we're called home, amen, or when the Lord returns. But this should not keep us from striving forward, praise God. We're going to keep on moving forward. Hallelujah, amen. And so I thank God that gets us on a little bit closer, amen, to some of the things that we're doing, amen. And so I thank God we're living for Jesus Christ in all that we do and everything that we say. We're on a battleground, amen, today. And all of us are trying to battle and do everything that we can, praise God, to stay forward. And so here, as we look and realize, and I'm letting the Holy Spirit just lead me as I speak to you right now, I thank God we're going to get right on into our study. But I thank God here as we look and realize that the weapon of a steadfast mentality, how can the believer handle and conquer such a persecution when he's so unjustly treated, amen. Boy, I thank God each and every one of us, we've got to arm ourselves with the mind of Christ. That's why I call this study tonight the weapon of a steadfast mentality. We're arming ourselves with the mind of Christ, amen. Living for Jesus is not easy sometimes, amen. When we live for Christ, I'll tell you, when you really live righteous and godly lives, amen, the unbelievers of the world, they're going to reject you. It's going to happen. They want little to do with righteousness and God, you know what? That's how the world is getting more every day. How can we do this, amen? I thank God the only way that a believer can handle and conquer the persecution when they're unjustly treated, amen, is we arm ourselves with the mind of Jesus, amen. Jesus Christ suffered persecution. He suffered all of this to the ultimate degree for every one of us, amen. And so there's only one way that we arm ourselves with the mind of Christ, amen. He has shown us how to handle and conquer persecution, praise God. And so I thank God that's the thing that we're going through. We arm ourselves with the mind of Christ. And I thank God, what does that mean when we arm ourselves? I thank God it means we die to self. We die to self. We deny self. Jesus Christ, I thank God, denied himself to the ultimate degree that he hung on that cross and he paid the debt for all of our sins, amen. He suffered for us, and I thank God in the flesh. Jesus Christ lived a pure and a righteous life. And so I tell you, I thank God each and every one of us as we look and realize how truly blessed that we are today. But here we look and realize that one of the first things that we see tonight as we get into this, and I'm going to put the scripture right up behind it of the weapon of a steadfast mentality. Notice how I've got the soldier or the helmet of salvation that is on us, and we stay the course. We stay the course. And one of the first things that Peter is trying to tell us is he says, I want you to be armed. Listen, I'm going to tell you, if you ain't armed, boy, I tell you, the Holy Spirit has given you something when he indwelt you that you're armed, praise God. And so I thank God that weapon of a steadfast mentality is be armed. Be armed, hallelujah. Boy, I thank God that he tells us. And so every one of us, as we look at it and realize that today, one of the greatest privileges that we have to be this is, as somebody has always told us, that Satan's always knocking at the door. I tell you what, let Jesus answer that door. Amen. Hey, let Jesus open the door when the devil comes knocking. Amen. The devil never takes time off from his attack. He's always working, and he doesn't even care how he accomplishes his plan to defeat and destroy every one of us as believers and Christians today. He wants to destroy your testimony. That's right. And so Paul told us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, he says, "But I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve, through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." You know, every one of us today, in light of what we have studied, I thank God Satan knows that when we successfully navigate through the difficult waters in our lives, we've got a greater testimony and an impact on others that we come in contact with. And so I thank God that's the last thing that the devil wants to happen, that we get more and more impacting people that are watching our lives. There is somebody watching your life right now. He will look for new ways to attack us so as to minimize that impact. Peter gives us some practical advice in these verses. He says, listen, you've got a weapon of a steadfast mentality. He says, be armed. Be armed. Boy, I thank God that he tells us. Now look, he says, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves. He said, be armed is what he's telling us. Amen. Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he hath suffered in the flesh, hath ceased from sin. Boy, I tell you, I might be in my house, but I'm going to tell you the Holy Spirit is powerful right here. Amen. You know what? You just say, well, two or three. That's right. My wife's right here close by as well. And I thank God, every one of us, when we look and realize, when a soldier lays down his weapon, he is defenseless. He is defenseless for that moment. And if the enemy begins to see him in this kind of condition that he's laid down his arm, amen, he will no doubt attack at any time. But I thank God the devil waits for those moments when we let down our guard, when we cannot afford to live a single moment of our lives without protection. Be armed. Be armed, amen. Paul told us in Ephesians, hallelujah, he said, finally, my brethren, he said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Praise God. He said, put on the whole, what he said? He said, put on the whole armor of God, amen, that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Praise God. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Listen, against powers and against, the rulers of darkness, amen, of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, notice I pause, above all, listen, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil, and take, what does he say? The helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication of all saints. Amen. And so I thank God, every one of us, we can all get weary in well-doing. The battle is intense, and we tire easily in our own strength. Sometimes even after the greatest victory spiritually, it is easy to lose our focus and that we can give place to the enemy. God promises strength through these weary moments, and he begins to remind us to keep our weapons close at hand. Be armed, amen. I thank God. He tells us to have we've got a victorious master, hallelujah. He says, for as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh. Never rely on your experience as a teacher, in your own strength. Our example should always be Christ. Amen. We may have some victories, but I'm going to tell you something. Our lives, but Jesus is the victorious in every test. Never think that you've done it by yourself, amen. He never sinned, Jesus didn't. He must always, we've got to look to him all the time. Our encouragement, he's our example, praise God. And he has already run this race successfully. And we would be foolish to ignore his coaching and every bit that he's taught us. He says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but also in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin, praise God. He says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be, let me back it back up, amen. He says, listen, I thank God that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so I thank God, stay the course, amen. Stay the course, praise God. This is our Lord who has successfully defeated every temptation, withstood every trial, is not only our model, but he's willing to enable us through his power to defeat our enemies with that power on our side. You know what? There's no reason to fail. There's no reason to fail. The direction of our thoughts will form the direction of our lives. Far, far too often, we allow our minds to think about think about the wrong without any intention of doing that wrong. But Satan knows that if he can infiltrate our thinking, listen, he will infect our testimony. And so Paul says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I thank God that the Philippians tells us, he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, he tells us, amen. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Oh, I thank God, there's that mentality again, amen. That steadfast mentality, hallelujah. Casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, amen. And bringing it into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. Someone has said and suggested that there's the 4-second rule. You drop the food on the floor and you pick it up. No, I'm blowing it. Oh, no, I'm just kidding. Now, the 4-second rule, when it comes to our thoughts, when a thought comes into our minds, we have 4 seconds to decide if we want to keep that thought or discard that thought. God has made us as human beings with this ability, this mentality to choose, listen, to keep or to discard that thought. And so you take that 4-second challenge and you ask God, help me to make the right choice in this critical moment. Lord, do I need to go with this thought or do I need to reject it because it's the enemy putting it in there? You see, you're a child of the king, but the devil still can do. He can try to manipulate. He can work through this old fleshly nature. That's what he does. And so the weapon of a steadfast mentality is be armed, amen, because we've got a victorious master. And I thank God we've got a vigilant mind as well. He who aims at nothing hits it every time, you know. And so every one of us, God saved you for a reason. His plan is perfect, and he has given us everything we need to accomplish that purpose for his glory. God may reveal his plan one step at a time, or he may reveal his plan, or he may call us to a lifetime of service. But either way, we must be focused on what he has placed before us. You know, Acts says, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. And so Timothy says, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know what? Every one of us, when we look and realize that so many of us today, we need to be very, very careful about this. And so let me get us caught up because I've been talking and I ain't even got it. But verse 1 is talking about dying to self, denying oneself, and ceasing from sin. Okay, let's move on. As I want to put this on you that our goal in the Christian life is to cease from sinning. Amen. To cease from sinning. Amen. The second point that we have, not only be armed, but be aimed. Amen. Be aimed, praise God. And so I thank God, as I just said a while ago, every one of us, we need to take aim and fire away, because listen to what the Word of God tells us. It says that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. Boy, I thank God, what is he trying to tell us? He's saying it's doing God's will for the rest of one's days. That's what that scripture is talking about. But he says what? He says, I want you to be aimed. And I thank God, he who aims at nothing hits it every time. And so God has a reason. He has a plan for every one of us, amen, to go forward. And that is, there's a waste of time that Peter is telling us. He says that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men. What a waste to live our lives for things that will not last past this lifetime. We need to be invested in the work of the Lord right now. The choice is not between pleasure and misery, but between pleasure and pleasure. The question is in the duration of that pleasure. There is pleasure in sin, but it doesn't last. Huh? But God promises a pleasure that is forevermore. Amen. I thank God, the Hebrew says to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, but that's it. But thou wilt shew me the path of life, in thy presence is fullness of joy, at the right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And so don't waste a moment of your life on pleasures that are not only fleeting, but in the process are also fatal. But if you want your life to count for something that outlasts, praise God, it is only God's will and his work that will outlast this present world. Dedicate yourself right now. If you haven't been doing it, start dedicating yourself today to use your time for that will give glory and honor to Jesus Christ, and it will count in eternity, praise God. And so I thank God, we see there's so much that Peter says in verse 2 that it is a waste of our time. We need to be aiming the spiritualness of our giftedness that he's given every one of us, a gift and a purpose. Also, we need to have a worthy target that we're going at, because he says, but to the will of God. Amen. God's will is perfect according to Romans 12:2. It is impossible to improve on perfect. But I thank God, listen, you know what? As we look and realize the great blessing today, that as God has went with us and given us the greatest strength that we have, thank God for everything that he's doing in our lives. God is a blessing, hallelujah. And so as we look and realize right now that God has blessed us tremendously in every areas of our life, praise God, that we just got to continue to trust him in all of the areas of our life, praise God. Everything that we're going through today, the Lord knows exactly what we're dealing with in this life, praise God. And so we've got to be able to have a worthy target. That's what he's telling us, amen. We've wasted enough time, amen. God's will is perfect, praise God. And he says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. And so I thank God. He says, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. And so I thank God, each and every one of us, as we look and realize how truly blessed that we are each and every day as we go forward, to ask the Lord to help us, how much better that we can get through and help people if we will have a worthy target that we're thinking about. Someone has said that the close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades, amen, but certainly coming close to the will of God will not count for much when we meet the Lord. When it comes to God's plan, amen, we want to hit the bullseye. And so you need to be able, with a weapon of steadfast mentality, have a worthy target. Don't waste your time, amen. Hallelujah. Let's move right on. The next thing is that to stay the course, the weapon of a steadfast mentality is, I tell you, to be adamant. And I thank God, each and every one of us, as one of us, is talking about avoiding the past associations, get accustomed to the present accusations that there's always somebody accusing somebody of doing something when they ain't done it. Be aware of the future accountability. Here we begin to realize that God wants all of us to have a little righteous stubbornness. Christians need to develop, amen. Boy, I thank God that he's telling us about in this. And so I thank God. He says, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revilings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Now, I'm going to tell you, he's saying it is being fed up with sin, knowing that one has sinned enough. Well, I don't know if you get sick of that sometime, but God wants us to have that little righteousness of stubbornness. Christians need to develop some grit and some determination, praise God, that we've often thought that when God saved Saul of Tarsus, amen, and he changed his life from a murderer to a missionary, he probably didn't change much about his personality or anything else, but Paul was a little hard-headed. And he knew what God had called him to do, praise God, amen. And so I thank God, he knew what God had called him to do, and no amount of suffering or hardship could keep him from fulfilling his calling, praise God. God's will in his life, we have far too many Christians that are not willing to go all the way today, who have blown about with every wind of adversity. Why, man, they don't even know what they believe because they've never been steadfast in the Word of God long enough to get mature in the faith. And I tell you, it's sad today that that's what's happening in America with all of our churches, praise God. But we need those good old-fashioned, hard rock, salvation, born-again Christians that can set an example and turn the light on in the darkness of this world, praise God. Because the psalmist says, he only is my rock and my salvation, and he's my defense, and I shall not be greatly moved, amen. I shall not be moved. Hey, how about that old song, praise God? Hey, the psalmist says, I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand and I shall not be moved, praise God. Boy, I thank God. It's okay to dig in our heels and to be unmoved when it comes to the fiery darts. God will get us through them as we'll be determined to fight the good fight of faith. Hallelujah. That is the weapon of our steadfast mentality, praise God. We avoid the past associations, amen, is what he's telling us. Hallelujah, amen. Boy, I thank God. First Peter, he says, for the time past of our life, amen, may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. That lasciviousness is an animal-like behavior. It's how the world chooses to exist on a daily basis. It's a product of teaching of evolution that we're dealing with in America today. Gosh, I want to kick a leg up right now, and I mean kick that slap out the door. It is such of the devil, amen. In a barn full of cattle, there's no shame, no morality in behavior. But I'm going to tell you, it's usually, I thank God, every one of us, as we look and realize that God wants every one of us to be stubborn, praise God. And he wants us to be able to have avoid that past associations that many of us go through each and every day of our lives, amen. And so I thank God how beautifully blessed that we are each and every day when the Lord comes through for us, amen, because we need to avoid those past associations. He said, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, amen. Boy, I thank God as we go, each and every one of us, each and every day, the Lord wants to bless us. And he wants to give us all of the blessings that we can handle, praise God. But we've got to be able to mature enough to where we can do that, amen. And so I thank God it is through that ability that we are able to do these things, amen. And so I thank God that he's given us the things that we do. And so every one of us, when we go through life today, we look at that weapon of a steadfast mentality, amen. And I thank God we've got to avoid those past associations, amen. That lasciviousness, it's usually a who that hinders you, amen. Be careful about the who's in your life that want to hinder you, amen. I thank God, Paul said, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? And so we might think if we go back and associate with the past crowd that we can influence them for good. Science proves otherwise. You better be careful, and especially if you think you could go into the darkest drunkenness bar of all of the county and go in there and win every one of them to Christ, they'll knock you out. And they don't care if you're a Christian or not. But I'm going to tell you, you can do it the right way by walking around with a billboard of the Holy Spirit inside of you and lighten up the path everywhere you go. Hallelujah. You can put a rotten apple into a bushel or a basket full of good apples, and guess what happens? Amen. They all going to turn bad. You put a good apple into a bushel, a basket, full of bad apples, and guess what happens? The bad apples don't turn good. The one good apple turns rotten. And so if God has changed your life, stay out of the world's bushel baskets out there today. Get accustomed to the present accusations, because sometimes there's always somebody accusing somebody of saying the wrong thing. Whenever God's work is moving forward, there will be friction. And I tell you, Billy Sunday used to say, the old sawdust preacher, hallelujah, he says, if I'm rubbing the fur the wrong way, turn the cat around, amen. Boy, I thank God there will be opposition to our walk with Christ, and it is part of the fiery trial that comes to all who live godly in Christ Jesus, praise God. For all have heard the slander of many, as Psalms 31:13. Fear was on every side while they took counsel together against me, and they devised to take away my life. Boy, I tell you, the proverb says, the hypocrite with his mouth destroyed his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. Praise God. You old rascal, you try to down talk somebody out there and talk about them and gossip like a dog out there. You ought to be ashamed of yourself out there. Boy, I tell you, people, we ought to be the most supportive of changed lives and family members and friends, amen. And I thank God we oughtn't be criticizing, making fun of anybody. We ought to be standing up for Christ today. Stay close to Christ, and he's the friend that will stick closer than a brother, praise God. And so be aware of the future accountabilities, amen, that he's talking about here. Because I thank God, he says, herein you think it's strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. You know what? They're wondering why you ain't running and doing the things they're doing and sinning they're doing. Because God has changed you. God has set up something inside of you that's no longer the way that it used to be. Amen. Why, thank God? Because when life ends, only one life soon will be passed, and only what's done for Christ is ever going to last. Praise God. Why, thank God. The definition for life is an opportunity to meet God. That's all life is. It's not about making money or being successful. It's all that will remain right here when life ends. And so right now, we need to make sure that it happens, because he says it's bearing the strange look by the world. And I thank God, as I put that in there, I'm doing this like them old-fashioned preachers, man. Hey, boy, they hit you about three times. They'll be out there rolling it, praise God, and they just constantly repeat it. That's my idea of this tonight. Your number one goal in the Christian life, without not only taking the gospel out to the world out there, but your number one goal is to cease from sin. I thank God. But remember what I said. You'll not reach this goal until you die or you're called home when the Lord returns. But this should not keep us from striving forward, praise God. But I'm on dogmatic tonight, amen. Praise God. I'm going to tell you, as we just revive, he says in verse 5, who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead, amen. I thank God, each and every one of us, as we go through life and begin to realize that often it's not our opposition that gets us into trouble, but it's our disposition. Jesus was full of grace and truth, according to John chapter 1, verse 14, and it's easy to get upset and frustrated with all the wrong that's going on in this world today. Trust me, I'm going to tell you, but our beliefs will not be attractive to anyone if our behavior turns them off, you know? And I tell you, I run into all kinds, and I thank God you've got to disarm them with love. You've got to break that down with love, amen. It's the only way that we can do that. And so I thank God. Let's move right on. He says that we're bearing the strange look by the world. But move right on to verse 6. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men and the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. Amen. Boy, I thank God, every one of us, we've got to beware of that future accountability, because everybody, they're watching our life. They're watching our life every single day. Everything that we're doing, they're watching our life. And I'm going to tell you something as we look and realize today, amen, that all of us, no matter what we're going through today, the Lord wants us to give glory and honor to him in everything that we're doing every single day, amen. Our Christian love should not only be a fervent and forgiving, but it should be something that's practical in our life every single day that we go through with, amen. And so I hope and pray that that's what you're doing with your life each and every day, amen. All of us, as we go through, amen, through life today, we need to be doing the very best to succeed and overcome this sin, because sin is one of those things, amen. But I thank God, when we look, we realize how that sin, as I keep putting that up, that we overcome that and get over that, because sin is something that we've got to be able, the goal, to keep working on in our lives, amen. We're no longer condemned by sin, but I thank God it tells us, who shall give an account to him, it said in verse 5, that is ready to judge the quick and the dead, for this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh and live according to God in the spirit. God is saying, let me move that back just very quickly. Move that right back. Who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. Amen. I thank God. A day of reckoning is coming, is what Peter's telling us. God is going to judge the quick and the dead. That means the living and the dead, is what he's saying. And it refers to people that are persecuting the people of God. They're going to get their day in the court of God. Hallelujah. Those that speak evil of us, you're going to get your court in the day of God. Hallelujah. And one of these days, they're going to face the judge. A day of reckoning is coming for the lost. And I tell you, but he goes on right on. Let me move back over to verse 6. He says, he's telling us here, he says, for this cause was the gospel preached also unto them that are dead. Now, I thank God. You know what? Here we see a day of recognition that is coming for the saved. Because what does sin do in the time of battle? It tries to destroy every one of us as a Christian. And that's exactly what Paul was telling us. He says, stay on the course. Notice the hammock that I'm reminding you. Stay on the course. It is the steadfast mentality. Hallelujah. And so I thank God each and every one of us every one of us, when we go through life, that when the gospel's preached to them that are dead, when they're alive, I thank God, every one of us, as we look and realize, it says, was the gospel preached to them who are now dead. Now, I tell you, it was preached to them when they were alive and they got saved. And I'm going to tell you, I was an old dead sinner, but I thank God I got woke up and I come down to the altar finally in 1972 of September. And I thank God Jesus came into my heart and life, and there he dwells forever and ever. Amen. I thank God I ain't got to go back and get some more Jesus. Listen, did you know that I got everything that I got when I got saved, but it's this old body that deters me to keep me from believing, because the devil likes to do that. And so he says he's going to judge the quick and the dead, the living and the dead, and he's going to reward his own, praise God. And so I thank God all of this is what he's telling us, amen, because when Jesus Christ, when he died for me, he broke the power of sin, he rendered Satan helpless in my life, he gave himself for me that he might give himself to me, praise God, and I thank God it was all because of this, that sin has no attraction, temptation has no power, and I thank God Satan has no authority, that I cannot break in the power of the Holy Spirit that indwells me as a born-again Christian of God, if I'll say to Christ, amen, and gives me the power to overcome these things in this life today. And so I thank God each and every one of us, as we deal with some of these things today, the devil is constantly coming at us all the time. And so this verse, as it says, it's an example for every one of us that have gone on before, praise God, that we continue to set a great example in front of all of these ones today, amen. And so I thank God every one of us, as we look and realize how truly blessed that we are, the Lord has really gifted us and given us everything that we need. Amen. It brings us to our last point, and that is to be agreeable to stay on course. The weapon of steadfast mentality in verses 7 through 11 that I'm going to read, that he's talking to us about, amen, is he's telling us here right now that we've got to be able. Lastly, not only has he told us to be armed in verse 1, to be aimed at, to aim, and to not waste our time, and to keep that target, amen, in verse 2. But he says, verses 3, 4, and 5, and 6, he says, be adamant, amen. You know, don't get tripped up with all of the things. Rock steady, praise God. Boy, we'd run all the roller coaster hills. They call them the roller coaster hills, because every military base has got a hill that goes winding up and down. We'd get the airborne shuffle going, brother. We'd just rock steady, keep on going and running, amen, and running. And boy, I tell you, we got to keep on adamant in the Christian faith, amen. I thank God, keep that helmet of salvation on us, amen. But I thank God our last point here is to be agreeable. Often it's not our position that gets us into trouble, but it's our disposition, as I said. Jesus, he's full of grace, he's full of truth. And I thank God, every one of us, we've got to be able to have a heavenly communication, is what this is telling us. Look with us. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. He's telling us here, he says, live seriously, soberly, watching and praying, praise God. Because our ability to be right with people starts with staying right with God. Amen. It's hard to dislike a truly spiritual person. I really believe that. And if our vertical relationship with God is right, the horizontal relationship with people, it will seem to work out. That's why, hey, if you're causing disrupt among the brethren in harmony, I know there's a problem. You know why? Hey, not that I can just look and see it. That there's a problem in your relationship with God, because you can't get along with those that's around you. That's your problem. And you're going to blame everybody else. I'm teaching you like it is tonight. I don't care who you are. Praise God. Listen, every one of us, hey, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemy, he's be at peace with him. And so I thank God. It is all about that heavenly communication, praise God. And so let's move right on. And above all things, have fervent charity, love among yourselves. For charity and love shall cover the multitude of sins. What is he talking about? He says, live with fervent love. Boy, I thank God, you know what? Every one of us, we need to have a household charity of love. Amen. Well, I thank God, because here we must never lose sight of God's grace in our lives. Where would we be apart from the mercy and the grace of Almighty God? Jeremiah tells us that we would be consumed if God had not mercifully intervened. But when we forget what God has done for us, we forget how to treat others. And so I thank God. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Don't you be coming in here and telling me some gossip about this and that. You better get down on, hey, listen, I'm going to tell you, did you defend us? I hope you defended us if you was gossiping our church or you was gossiping about me or somebody. You better be defending them. That's what brothers and sisters of Christ do, because we lift up. If somebody comes out there and they're telling you something about somebody's church over there or something, you don't go along with that. You better defend that person. You better stand up against that. All right, that's that love, praise God, that fervent love. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. And so I thank God today, boy, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, that if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And so therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants, and when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents, but for as much as he had not to pay, the Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. And the servant therefore fell down, worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, that I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosened him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants. Now listen, I'm teaching tonight, praise God, hallelujah. Listen, but that the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him. But he said, listen, but that same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not. What a shame. But went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. And so when the fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. And then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all thy debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? You know, just because you're old don't mean you're wise. No, it sure don't. You older, but that's about it. You better get in the Word of God and listen to the man of God. That's what you better do. I'm going to tell you tonight, I thank God as he tells us as we move on. He says, use hospitality one to another without grudging, amen. Live, I thank God, showing hospitality and do it ungrudgingly. Boy, I thank God as I got ready a week ago or so for this lesson tonight. This is speaking truth in volumes every single day. Hallelujah. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As I prepared this about a week ago, man, this is a current event that takes place. When God blesses our lives or uses us in some way, we must be careful not to steal any of the credit for ourselves. Our motive is not our glory, but it is His and His alone, praise God. I thank God we use the hospitality. God gives you those giftedness and abilities to give glory and honor to Him. Peter is telling us, be agreeable, is what he's talking about in verses 7 through 11. He says, listen, he says, I want you to be armed in verse 1. He says, be aimed with everything that you do. Aim it. Go for the bullseye in verse 2. He says, be adamant in verses 3, 4, 5, and 6. Amen. But here in verses 7 through 11, he says, I want you to be agreeable. Use heavenly communication. Amen. I thank God he's telling. But here in verses 8, 9, and 10, he said, I want household charity. I want love to be showed to these ones. Praise God. And so I thank God, every one of us, God begins to use us for His honor and glory. He says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Boy, I thank God. He goes on, he says, here is that humble cooperation. Live using your gifts. Live using your gifts. But lastly, in verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of an ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And so I thank God. The early disciples in the book of Acts, they came under constant attack. And the persecution of the early church is well known. As I get ready to close out our study, our Bible study now, yet their lives grew, their churches multiplied. What was the secret of such a growth during such difficult times of persecution? Hey, I tell you, in chapter 1, they were in communion with God, fasting and praying for 10 days. In chapter 2, we find them right with each other, I thank God, as one accord. Boy, that's powerful. Singleness of mind, having favor with all the people I've seen over and over. It doesn't take long for Satan to attack. Amen. Chapter 3, it starts with a conjunction. But trouble is about to come to this early church as Ananias and Sapphira. They lie to God and their brethren in the church. And the blessings of God are stopped until they're dealt with this fiery trial. Satan will try to pull you away from God and his people. When trials come, he not only wants to destroy you, but every bit of God's work in the church house. I want you tonight to remember what I've challenged you about the weapon of steadfast mentality. Be armed. Don't let the devil catch you without your weapons. You got the weapons of the Holy Spirit of God. Man, you got to praise God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace, praise God. You shod with the preparation of the gospel. You go praying, amen. You're steadfast, hallelujah, amen. You be aimed as well. You don't waste the ammunition and the power of the giftedness that God has given you, brothers and sisters in Christ out there. I love you tonight, amen. I tell you, I'm just teaching tonight because the Holy Spirit is dealing with me about this. But he says also, be adamant. Be adamant, be diehard, praise God. Amen. Pull a Bruce Willis on this thing, amen. Boy, I thank God. Yippee-ki-yay and all that, hallelujah. And so I thank God, hey, every one of us, don't get caught in the past associations of old things in the past. Get accustomed to the present accusations because you're going to be accused of something. I don't care if you're doing something right, you're going to be accused. And then be aware of future accountabilities as well. But I thank God, he told us here, lastly, and he says, be agreeable. Have a heavenly communication, a household charity of love, and an humble cooperation. A humble cooperation. And so be aimed. Be armed. Be aimed. Be adamant. And be agreeable. I thank God tonight, if Satan can infiltrate our thinking, what do you think that he will affect? Your testimony. That's right. He wants to mess your witness and your testimony up. You know, why should we have some righteous stubbornness? Because we can fight a good fight of faith. And I thank God, who should we be careful about that can hinder us from finishing our race? Some of our past associates that we used to hang out with back when we was in the flesh and when we was lost. Hey, don't think that you're that bold and that strong until you're really mature and grown. You might ought to take somebody else with you, amen, if you're trying to win somebody and you're not that strong, amen. When God's words moves forward, what should we expect? Friction. Because when you're moving forward, the devil is moving against you and against your home and against your marriage and against your church. Hallelujah. And I tell you, every one of us, praise God, we should have that righteous stubbornness so that we can fight the good fight of faith. Amen. I got the weapon of a steadfast mentality. Hallelujah. Whom should we be careful about that can hinder us from finishing our race? Again, all those past associates. When God's word moves forward, what do we expect? Friction. You're going to have friction. But according to Daniel Webster, what is the greatest thought that can occupy a man's mind? One day, you're going to meet God. One day, you're going to stand before Almighty God and give an account of what you could have done, what you should have done, and what you did. Hallelujah. When we forget what God has done for us, what else will we forget? We're going to forget how to treat others because it is so with the vertical as it is with the horizontal. And I'm going to tell you, when you have a problem with your relationship with God, you're going to have a problem with everyone that is around you in your relationships and people. And God help us tonight. Listen, this is Pastor Darrell Bailey coming to you. You can preach a better sermon with your life than you can with your lips. Thank God. Tune us in tonight. Father, we praise you and thank you for People's Valley Baptist Church. Tune us in, Father, Lord, as you continue to bless and minister through the scriptures tonight, those that have listened to the Word of God. I pray for you to intervene on their behalf. Whatever desperation that they're involved in tonight of trying to struggle with their Christian walk or faith, help them, Father. Whatever past associations, whatever accusations that somebody has accused somebody or said something about, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus tonight that you will straighten, I mean, yank them up and down with the love of Jesus Christ. But, Father, I pray that you will straighten them out, because there ain't nobody that can whoop somebody into shape like you can, Lord. And I pray you will whoop them into shape. And, Lord, tell them, hey, that's my church. That person belongs to me. Don't you be talking about them in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, thank you tonight. Thank you for letting us know that we are somebody, that you do love us. You care about every one of us in the church. And, Lord, there ain't nobody that's going to come along and pick on your church and your beloved of the house of God without not having consequences to deal with. Lord, I feel for them. I feel for them. Lord, please, don't be too rough on them. Lord, don't whoop them too bad, Father, but Lord, they need a whooping. And Lord, I pray that through your grace and mercy, that it will give love where there was the wrong discord that was there, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father.